top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening, this is the Prime Evening News for today, Monday, April 29th, 2024, in the headlines.
Q, top of the hour.
Energy Minister Vince Henderson claims Dominica is getting close to establishing its geothermal plant, but former Agriculture Minister Afi Mata sees possible misdirection by the Energy Minister.
Right on, Q.
Caribbean Fisheries, Aquaculture and Blue Economy Ministers of the Caribbean Regional Fisheries Mechanism convened Friday to discuss advancing sustainable development in fisheries and aquaculture.
Q, top of the hour news.
And senior Israeli defense officials have hinted at plans to evacuate Palestinian civilians from Rafah and to initiate an assault on Hamas strongholds in the area.
DA.com.
The news is brought to you compliments Archipelago Trade Agents of Beacon Insurance Limited. Details coming up next.
To be sure you settle for more, get up to 35% off Beacon's fully comprehensive vehicle insurance and still cover a whole lot more. Enjoy higher discounts and better coverage for any kind of vehicle, car, SUV or pickup with free loss of use, windscreen cover and special perils. To sign up, call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacon.co.tt and settle for more today.
Minister for Energy Vince Henderson claims Dominica is getting close to the last phase of the construction of a 20-megawatt geothermal power plant in Loda. Henderson acknowledged that Dominica has taken the longest time to develop a geothermal plant, but the time has come to complete the geothermal plant.
Last December, we signed an agreement with Ormat to build a 10-megawatt plant as a first step. Our ambitions to export to Martinique and Guadeloupe have been affected because of the lack of interest of our French partners, and we are now reconsidering the opportunities and the options that are there. So when we speak about interconnecting the region and selling to power to other islands in the Caribbean, it is not something that will determine whether or not we develop a geothermal plant. We're saying that the potential is so great, and we have proven it, that we should seriously be considering exporting that power, or at least producing energy cells that can be exported. So we have learned from everybody who has done everything that we think is of value. But the truth about geothermal energy, Dominica has been pursuing this for the longest in the region. And thank God today we are getting to the point where we are getting very close to actually getting it done. But anything can happen.
And that was the Minister of Energy, Vince Henderson. Meantime, former Minister of Agriculture and Environmentalist Afaton Mate questions the return on investment for the government's effort to construct a small 20-megawatt geothermal power plant, which would in the first instance only cover 50% of Dominica's energy generation capability. Dominica's peak energy requirements are 22 megawatts of electricity. Speaking on Q95 FM radio today, Martes said the amount of money spent by the government on this project has grown to a very large sum, and he is not sure whether the plant will last as long as Mr. Henderson claims to even get any return on investment, as there are important factors that can quickly reduce the operational expediency of a geothermal plant. In October of 2023, Dominica had spent some US $55 million on a geothermal project. To date, the amount spent is US $92.12 million, inclusive of Parliament's approval of a loan of EC $103.95 million from the International Development Association to install transmission or distribution lines from Loda to Domlek's Fonkoli power station.
The best practices manual for geothermal said, even at 20 megs output, you're not going to see the benefits In terms of the cost benefits. You're not going to get value for money because of the very significant cost of investment in exploration and building other things. There are other things that he's not taking into account at all. But from a purely engineering and technical standpoint vis-a-vis geothermal, he is still, even in his utterance, not providing any assurance that there is enough power to even supply Dominica. Dominica has a peak demand of 22 megawatts. So even with three wells, and giving you 21, 22 megawatts, what power is going to be left to share with anybody else? And at what cost? Because to get the power from Dominica to Martinique or Guadeloupe, there's another major cost involved, which is the cost of building a power line.
And that was a former Agriculture Minister and Environmentalist Afaton Martey. Attorney Cara Shillingford has shed light on her decision to take on the contentious buggery case in Dominica, a topic now sparking widespread debate. The Dominica High Court's ruling on April 22, 2024, declaring Sections 14 and 16 of the Sexual Offences Act, which penalizes homosexual sex, as unconstitutional, has further fueled public disgust. Shillingford emphasized her duty to provide top-notch representation to her clients, despite challenges such as gender, political affiliation, and sexual orientation. She underscored the importance of lawyers not shying away from unpopular cases and advocating for constitutional challenges to challenge the existing norms, rendering the Constitution merely words on paper.
As an attorney at law, it is my responsibility to represent my clients to the best of my ability. This is something that I must do regardless of the client's race, political opinion, place of origin, nationality, sexual orientation, gender. Now, it would have been easy for me to say, I am not interested in this case. Let another lawyer take it on. However, the danger of taking on this approach and being a coward, shying away from doing something which I believe is correct, is that if every lawyer in Dominica decides not to take on unpopular cases, not to file constitutional challenges, not to challenge those in power or the status quo, then things will simply remain as it is. The Constitution will just be a piece of paper with words. So, as an attorney at law, I have a responsibility to do what I think is right, even though that decision might be unpopular.
Shillingford asserted her belief that the recently invalidated laws were unconstitutional as they infringed upon individuals' human rights. She emphasized that Section 16 of the Sexual Offences Act extended beyond the LGBTQ community, affecting any person, regardless of sexual orientation, engaging in such acts privately, subjecting them to 10 years imprisonment under the law.
I believe that the laws which were recently struck down were unconstitutional and that it violated the human rights of persons. Now, we must understand that Section 16 of the Sexual Offences Act made it an offence for any adult to partake in the act of buggery. This section did not specify that it applies only to LGBT persons. This means that every heterosexual person, meaning every man and woman who has partaken that act in the privacy of their home, right? In the privacy of their home, would be liable to up to 10 years imprisonment. This law did not only apply to LGBT persons, it applied to heterosexuals. Now, I do not know what goes on in the privacy of persons' homes, but what I do know is that what consenting adults do in the privacy of their homes is their business. It is not my business. It is not the law's business. If it is that a child is being affected, if it is that someone who is not capable of consent is being affected, then the law can intervene.
Attorney at law Cara Shillingford Marsh. United Workers' Party leader Dr. Domson Fontaine has outlined the idea for the upcoming 2024 Dominica Economic Revival Summit Evolved. He said the summit will bring involved experts from all sectors of society and will see dynamic representation, or that's a presentation, integrated planning and a consensus by all participants on a clear economic path for Dominica in the short, medium and long term. This major event is set for June 4th to 6th, 2024 at Jungle Bay Resort and Spa in Soufrière.
After my re-election, when we had our first press conference, I told the Dominican public that as part of my vision for this country, it would be to have an economic summit in the first half of this year. So that is carrying through with that. It is something that we've discussed within the party, because it was part of the vision for the party that I outlined. So it's a party initiative, but we've since moved to invite the Electoral Reform Coalition, which is made up of a number of diverse groups, and that's the reason why we wanted to include them with us, because the ARC, because of their makeup, although their focus is on electoral reform, but because of the makeup, there are a number of diverse groups. You have, you know, the Civic Vibe group, you have the Freedom Party in there, you know, the Workers' Party itself is there. You also have the NJAM as part of it, and CCM, you know. So you have a number of different groups that constitute the Electoral Reform Coalition. So we thought it was a natural fit to get them on board with us with the planning to really set this out. Because as you can well imagine, it takes quite a lot of planning to get this done. It is not an easy thing to pull together. It's going to take, it has taken several hours of planning already, and the planning continues.
And that was United Workers' Party leader and economist Dr. Domson Fontaine. The Dominica Cycling Association says it is ready for the rest of the 2024 cycling season, which began in February of 2024. President of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles, announced the equipment that has been successfully procured for the association's top cyclist, as well as for level 2 training opportunities for cycling coaches and bike mechanics. Mr. Charles added that these efforts will enhance the capacity of the association to host major cycling events in Dominica in the near future.
We have worked alongside our head office and we have gotten some solidarity projects approved. That in itself is doing good for us. We've got 10 bikes, 5 mountain bikes and 5, of course, road bikes. And we also get the opportunity to be able to get our coaches to go to level 2, I believe, and also the mechanical part of it. Because if you realize that in Dominica, we don't have much persons fixing bicycles, and that we got that funded. And we also looking at...
And that was the president of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles. During the 9th meeting of the first session of the 11th Parliament held today, Parliamentary Representative for the Casabrus constituency and Education Minister Octavia Alfred announced that $2.8 million was disbursed to 224 farmers in the Casabrus area for lands acquired for the East Coast Rehabilitation Project, financed by the World Bank, and additional funds were allocated for crop compensation. Ms. Alfred stated that due to the road project, citizens are experiencing considerable savings on expenses previously incurred due to poor road conditions.
$2.8 million was paid to 224 farmers in the Casabrus constituency for lands repossessed for this road project. Farmers receive additional payments as crop compensation. Several people from the constituency are employed on this project. Many of our tradesmen improve their skills and learn new skills. New relationships were built. Travel time has decreased and people are beginning to come again for their fish, produce, and the turkeys. Casabrus is not far again because road nice road. We have begun to see the savings on shocks, tires and other vehicle parts. Drivers are happier, passengers are merrier. More smoother ride for patients on the ambulance. More people are visiting our area, therefore increased economic activities. Mr. Speaker, this morning I'm speaking from experience. The benefits of this new East Road project to the constituents of Cassie Bruce are visible and tangible. People in food preparation business are engaged. Farmers and fisher folks provide foods to the food preparation businesses. These food preparation businesses increase their number of employees, and workers were transported by bus. Mr. Speaker, because of this East Coast project, the Cassie Bruce constituency is becoming active again, and Dominica is becoming a more modern, developed country.
Alfred also emphasized that the project is enhancing the value of lands in the area and creating new opportunities. She highlighted that younger generations can now envision growing up in a more developed community compared to that of before.
This project has not only brought greater comfort and convenience to our people, but value is being added to the lands in the area and opportunities are opening up. The self-esteem of our people has improved. Our children are growing up in a more developed area than we did, and one that our grandchildren could not even dream of. Mr. Speaker, from waking up at 4 a.m. to take a lorry, to take 2.5 hours of rocking to get to Roseau, we now take 40 minutes of nice ride to get to Roseau. And there are some young people who are testing me and saying, "Fal rep, I took 45. Not a good idea. Let's hold to the 40. Mr. Speaker, the value and beauty of this project have improved our image and esteem and increased our sense of belonging and pride. But above all, Mr. Speaker, the people of the Cassie Bruce constituency feel safer, because this project has addressed a number of vulnerable areas on this road. As we move into the rainy season, we are full of gratitude, as we believe that our experience with the rain will be more comfortable than years before."
And that was Octavia Alfred, a parliamentary representative for the Cassie Bruce constituency. The fourth session of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee recently commenced at the Shaw Center in Ottawa, Canada. Its primary objective is to form a legally binding treaty aimed at curbing plastic pollution, particularly in the marine environments. Small island developing states' seats, including members of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, are actively participating in these high-level discussions held from April 23rd to 29th. The OECS has aligned itself with international negotiators, advocating for a robust and comprehensive United Nations Treaty on Plastics, addressing the entire life cycle of plastic products. Dr. Joel Trezia, Clark Minister overseeing Sustainable Development, Environment and Climate Action in St. Kitts, emphasized the moral obligation of seeds in global climate advocacy. She underscored the significance of their voices in pressing for diverse action on plastics, echoing calls for ambitious measures. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Mr. Savan McKenzie, member of the Electoral Reform Coalition, revealed that the ERC took proactive steps last year after the leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, announced the intent to hold a Dominica Economic Revival Summit in 2024. The summit will bring together key stakeholders, government officials, business leaders, and experts in various fields in Dominica, in the region, and globally to engage in constructive dialogue and collaboration, which will begin the process of creating a master plan to serve as a roadmap for Dominica's future development in agriculture, manufacturing, tourism, agribusiness, renewable energy, knowledge IT industries, and construction and the blue and green economy. The ERC proposed expanding the scope of the summit to encompass all sectors of the economy, stressing the urgency of addressing the widespread challenges faced by the Dominican economy. McKenzie emphasized that the decision to broaden the conference focus stemmed from the stark reality that every facet of the Dominican economy is grappling with significant difficulties. He underscored the pressing need for immediate intervention to provide essential guidance and direction to steer the economy towards a more sustainable path.
When Dr. Thompson-Fontaine first announced the convening of a conference on tourism and agriculture in December last year, we in the Electoral Reform Coalition immediately contacted him and recommended an economic forum that would cover all sectors of the Dominican economy. The reason was obvious. All sectors of the Dominican economy, from healthcare to infrastructure, are experiencing severe difficulties, and we need an immediate intervention to give some guidance to the present trajectory of the development of the Commonwealth of Dominica. We in the Electoral Reform Coalition, ERC, are pleased to be associated with the political leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson-Fontaine, and the rest of the organizing committee of distinguished Dominicans who have come together to present the Dominica Economic Revival Summit from June 4th to 6th at the Jungle Bay Resort at Mon Akuma Sufria.
Mackenzie outlines that the primary goal of the summit is to initiate the formulation of a master plan that will serve as a strategic blueprint for the guiding the country's economic development in the future.
The main objective of the summit is to begin the process of developing a master plan which will serve as a roadmap for Dominica's future development. As we approach the end of the first quarter of the 21st century, there is no doubt that Dominicans are disappointed with the present state of the economy. So for those who are curious in wondering what the link between electoral reform and an economic revival summit is, we in the ERC are very conscious of the fact that beyond electoral reform comes economic reform. In this regard, the IRC has embarked on a series of activities that we hope will accelerate the electoral reform process, and I'm pleased to inform you that the IRC had a very encouraging meeting with Her Excellency the President of the Commonwealth of Dominica on Monday, 22nd April 2024. More details will be given in a subsequent ERC communique. Let me take the opportunity to invite all Dominicans at home and abroad to participate and support the Economic Revival Summit 2024 at the Jungle Bay Resort. The summit starts with an opening ceremony and an awards dinner in the evening of Tuesday, June 4th, and continues for the following 2 days.
Severn McKenzie from the Electoral Reform Coalition. In other news, ministers responsible for fisheries, aquaculture and the blue economy from member states of the Caribbean Regional Fisheries Mechanism convened on Friday at the 18th regular meeting of the Ministerial Council for the CRFM. The discussion centered on crucial actions necessary to propel sustainable development in the fisheries and aquaculture sectors. Senator the Honorable Avinash Sain, Minister in the Ministry of Agriculture, Land and Fisheries Trinidad and Tobago, and outgoing chair of the CRFM Ministerial Council, handed over the chairmanship to the Honorable Josephine Olivia Connolly, Minister of Tourism, Environment, Fisheries and Marine Affairs, Culture and Heritage, Agriculture and Religious Affairs, the Turks and Caicos Islands. During the meeting, ministers endorsed 42 resolutions offering policy directives on various fronts, including the updated CARICOM Common Fisheries Policy, personal training, seafood safety and trade systems enhancement, and the utilization of sargassum for agricultural purposes. And in a Sunday conversation between U.S. President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the White House convened Biden's steadfast stance regarding the potential invasion of the Gaza border city of Rafah.
U.S. President Joe Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Sunday and, quote, reiterated his clear position on a possible invasion of the Gaza border city of Rafah. Israel's military is poised to evacuate Palestinian civilians from Rafah and assault Hamas holdouts there, according to comments last week by a senior Israeli defense official. The invasion would come despite international warnings of a humanitarian catastrophe. Washington has said it could not support a Rafah operation without an appropriate and credible humanitarian plan. The White House, in a statement, also said that Biden and Netanyahu reviewed talks designed to secure the release of some of the Israeli hostages, coupled with an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Meanwhile, a Hamas delegation is set to visit Cairo on Monday for talks aimed at securing a ceasefire, according to a Hamas official. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is also set to meet with regional partners this week on a trip to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Israel. His trip to the region comes after Reuters reported that some senior U.S. officials have questioned whether Israel is using U.S.-supplied weapons in accordance with international humanitarian law. According to an internal State Department memo reviewed by Reuters, some top officials advised Blinken they do not find Israel's assurances on the matter, quote, credible or reliable. Other U.S. officials accepted Israel's assurances. Blinken must report to Congress by May 8th on whether he finds Israel's assurances credible that its use of U.S. weapons does not violate U.S. or international law.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Energy Minister Vince Henderson claims Dominica is getting close to establishing its geothermal plant, but former Agriculture Minister Afi Mata sees possible misdirection by the Energy Minister.
Big Station.
Caribbean Fisheries, Aquaculture and Blue Economy Ministers of the Caribbean Regional Fisheries Mechanism convened on Friday to discuss advancing sustainable development in fisheries and aquaculture. And senior Israeli defense officials have hinted that plans to evacuate Palestinian civilians from Rafah and to initiate an assault on Hamas strongholds in the area.
Q95D.
The news was brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents of Beacon Insurance Limited. I am Fidis Involvement.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95. The